Hello, listeners. It's your friendly disembodied voice coming at you with another episode of Ritualistic. This week's episode is Season 1, Episode 16, Soulful. The transcript link and content warnings can be found in the show notes.
There was once a little girl who loved to read. She loved one specific book, The Tale of the Cold Castle. The story of a little boy who loved to ice skate. He was a prince and needed to spend his time doing princely things like fencing and politics, but he didn't care for those things. He wanted to skate. The little girl was 7 when she bought her first pair of ice skates, and the next day she broke her wrist after a nasty fall on the ice. She healed up and took to the ice again. This time, her feet were more practiced. They moved better. Her hands could curl perfectly and gracefully, and everyone said she was meant for the ice. However, she couldn't balance. She couldn't stay on her feet. It wasn't that she was scared. No, she didn't scare easily. She'd push off the wall, and for a few blissful moments, she would float. Then everything would come crashing down. She'd had a million instructors. They all had pretty words and pretty promises, but helping her with balancing, it didn't matter. The second she let go of their hands, she would collapse. She told herself she didn't care that the ice didn't love her as much as she loved it. She was lying. It took thousands of bruises, snapped ankles, and bent wrists and bloody heads before her parents told her she was finished. To be exact, they said, "Why ruin yourself over something you're not even good at? Why bleed yourself out over someone and something that is cruel to you?" Her ice skate sat in her closet collecting dust, and she walked past the ice skating rink every day, collecting dust of her own. Her first boyfriend came when she was 16. She'd just gotten her license and her first car, and he was handsome, but he wasn't kind. She'd hear the things he said to others but pretend she hadn't heard. She'd watch him get in trouble for pummeling boys with his fists, and she would turn away. She told herself she didn't care when he returned it to her. She was lying. It took 3 broken ribs and a fractured skull before her parents took him to court. They told her she would never see him again. Everyone asked the same question. Why ruin yourself over someone who doesn't care about you? The teddy bear he'd given her sat in her closet, collecting dust, and every time she walked past the prison, she collected more dust of her own. She became a girl made of dust. She was nothing more than other people's memories, than her own memories of everything she wished to be. A princess flying next to the skating prince from her favorite storybook, graceful and balanced and in love. But she had given too much. And too much had been taken. There was nothing of her left. The end.
I don't understand why you don't quit your archaeology job and become an author.
It was good?
Of course it was good. I quite enjoyed it.
Oh, do I need to get the nurse?
Oh, you and Booker. Always so worried about me. I don't need my friend worrying about me as well as my son.
You're right. Typical.
Don't sass me.
Sorry, Miss Chauncey.
So tell me, what's the inspiration behind this one?
I don't know if Booker's told you.
Booker doesn't tell me anything that he thinks will be upsetting. Start from the beginning.
Lots of things have been happening at our dig site, especially to my friend Jamie. I was thinking about her as I was writing it. I wanted to remind her that she shouldn't go after things that want to take everything she is.
I think it serves it that purpose. Has she read it yet?
Here's the thing. The others don't know that I write.
Excuse me? What does my son think you do in here with me for hours of the day? Does he think you're into older women?
Mrs. Chauncey!
Let this old woman use her sense of humor. It's the only thing I have left in this decaying body.
You have your cynicism.
Always the charmer. Now answer my question.
They have their own things to worry about. As for Booker, I don't know what he thinks. Maybe he thinks we're still playing poker.
Not if the nurses told him how our first game went. I almost strangled you. You are a dirty cheater.
Well, not normally. You're just really good, and there was no other way for me to beat you.
Pish posh. Anyways, I don't think your friends having their own things to worry about is any excuse for you not to tell them about your writing. What about that Emil boy? Booker has told me that the two of you...
Emil doesn't want to hear about those things from me.
So Booker's assumptions are correct.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm old, not blind. I know what that look means.
I don't have a look.
Sure you do. Whenever someone says his name...
That's enough of that. How's your love life?
The good old deflecting tactic. Ah, well, George and I had our date.
You did? How did it go?
For someone named George, he's very charming.
You're so mean.
You like me.
I guess. So, what did you guys do? Draw shapes in your mashed potatoes? Do bingo together?
Are you trying to put me in the grave?
Maybe.
You'll be the death of me, kid. We read each other books.
Aw, that's cute.
I told him about you and your stories.
Mrs. Chauncey!
You play it up like you have a big ego, but we both know that's not true. You deserve a little bit of inflation sometimes. He said he would like to meet you someday.
So there'll be another date?
Yes, I believe so.
Why do you like me so much?
You want my honest answer?
Yeah.
I think you're insufferable. You cheat at poker, and you tell terrible jokes, and you don't know how to handle your own feelings.
Thank you.
I'm insufferable, too. Insufferable people have to stick together, and insufferable isn't all you are. You're creative, and you're kind. You're 25, and you spend your time telling stories to an old, dying woman. You make me feel young again.
Don't be nice to me. It's weird.
You got my honest answer. Call for some craisins, would you?
Yeah. Excuse me, miss.
Yes?
Can we get some craisins, please?
Of course.
Thanks. Are you bored? We could play poker again.
We are never playing poker again.
Checkers, then? Or maybe chutes and ladders?
I would like to talk about my death.
What?
The cancer is getting worse. I won't make it to the end of the year.
Mrs. Chauncey.
My son won't acknowledge it. He gets wrapped up in saving everyone, but not even he can stop a terminal disease. But you're not my son. You're my friend, and I need you to promise me something.
Anything.
Watch over Booker. He's a kind man, and people will take advantage of that.
I was already planning on it.
Your mother must be lucky to have such a good kid.
My mother died when I was 3 months old, so lucky isn't the word I'd use for her.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we can blame dear old Dad for that one.
And what happened to him?
My sister shot him when he turned the hands that had killed my mother to me. She was brave. She was also 9, so social services had their hands full. We've never met. I only know her name. Ella. Silly, isn't it? Not knowing your own family? I've always been independent, though, so I guess it never really passed my mind whether or not Mom would be proud.
You never told me.
I've never told anyone, actually.
Thank you for trusting me.
No, thank you. It's been a long time since I've had a real friend.
Your dick site friends are real friends.
Yes, but I don't really talk to them like I wish I could.
Why not?
I already told you. They have their own things to worry about. Their own sad stories. We're kind of a melancholy bunch, actually.
So change that.
I've tried, believe me. But something about that place. The church. It dampens your mood, literally. What with the rain?
Did something happen?
Now that one I really can't talk about. You sure you don't want to play a board game?
I think I'd rather watch TV. Turn on Family Feud, would you?
Not Steve Harvey.
What do you have against Steve Harvey?
I don't know. I just find him annoying.
The craisins, finally.
Mom?
Hello, B.
Hey, Book.
I didn't think you'd be here, Leo.
We're chums. I've told you so before.
Yeah.
I should probably go. Work to do and all that.
See you back at the site.
Leo?
Yeah?
Do these old bones a favor and ask that boy out for a drink. Understand?
Anything for you, old lady.
Get your numbskull out of here.
I hope he wasn't.
He never does. What's this worry line between your eyebrows about?
The council. Mostly, but I don't want to rant. What were you watching?
Booker.
Mom.
Tell me what's going on. Does it have to do with Elspeth?
You sound like you're in high school when you call her by her last name. Just say Lena.
I'll say what I want. What did she say this time?
She won't lay off my team. And she's supporting Abby Grunt.
That woman is still employed?
I know, right?
You seem more shaken up than angry. What else happened?
I'm worried about the crew. Everyone is so quiet and they don't want to do anything but work anymore. And it's nothing.
What?
I'm pretty sure Lena threatened me.
I figured she would eventually. What are you going to do about it?
Ignore it? I don't know. She's like 70. What's she gonna do? Shake a cane at me and call me youngin'?
Think about who you're talking to.
Shoot. Sorry, Mom. I just mean that she doesn't really scare me.
Can I give you some advice?
Sure.
You should be scared of Lena, Elspeth.
What the hell does that mean?
It means you should avoid getting on her bad side.
Lena's a traditionalist with a mean streak. Why should I be scared of her? I can always get another job.
I'm not talking about your career.
What are you talking about, then?
How much do you know about a man named...
Excuse me, Mr. Chauncey, but it's past visiting hours.
But...
I really must insist.
I should have known. Listen to me, Booker. Don't go to that church site alone. No matter what. Am I clear?
Mom, what are you talking...
I'm very sorry, but you need to leave.
I love you, Bee.
I love you too, but...
Get home now. I need to have my dinner.
Ritualistic Podcast would like to acknowledge that we create our stories on stolen land. The land we occupy belongs to the Eastern Shoshone and Goshute peoples. This episode starred Caleb Burgess as Leo Daisy, Abby Ogden as Caroline Chauncey, Seth Stone as Booker Chauncey, and Morgan Champagne as Nurse. The episode was written by Morgan Champagne, sound designed by Jonas Stone, and produced by Morgan Champagne and Seth Stone. The episode theme, which played at the beginning and end, was composed by Sophia Weaver. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in a little while.